This episode of the Hatchcast is brought to you by Spartan Innovations. Spartan Innovations provides the educational and financial support necessary to turn MSU Research Technologies into successful Michigan businesses and spur entrepreneurship at MSU and across Michigan.
So without further ado, I'd like to go ahead and introduce my colleague and our esteemed speaker here this evening. First of all, I'd like to introduce to you Paul Jakes, the Director of Student and Community Engagement at Spartan Innovations. In this role, Paul works with students at MSU to take their ideas from the very beginning to market. He runs MSU's student incubator, the MSU Hatch, as well as the Cocker Accelerator Program. Prior to his role at Spartan Innovations, Paul was the Associate Director of Business and Career Engagement for MSU Career Services. Paul is the co-creator of lots of things, including Greenlight Michigan, the Burgess New Venture Challenge, Art Alley, Neo Center, Young, Smart, and Global, and The Hatching. Paul earned his bachelor's degree from Grand Valley State University and his master's degree from Michigan State University. If you could all join me in welcoming Paul to the stage. Right. Excellent. Our esteemed speaker and alumna who's back here from the West Coast is Zoe Zapatel. Zoe serves as Senior Product Manager at Weedmaps, based out of Orange County, California. Formerly, she served as Product Manager at Zynga, working on the Words with Friends mobile game. In that role, she focused on growing the Words with Friends player base and increasing revenue. Previously, as an undergraduate student at MSU, Zoe founded Connector, a mobile platform that connected thousands of students at universities. Zoe earned her Bachelor of Arts in Professional Writing from Michigan State University. While at MSU, and I'm sure she'll touch on this later this evening, Zoe launched the Women in Entrepreneurship Student Organization, which educates women interested in entrepreneurship. She was also the inaugural recipient of the Ian Gray Scholarship for Entrepreneurial Studies at Michigan State. If you could all join me in welcoming Zoe to the stage.
Thank you, Chris. How's everybody doing tonight? All right.
Wait, that was kind of quiet.
Thank you.
How is everyone doing tonight? Okay.
All right, let's get right into it. So you're back from California. Is this your first time back? I forgot to ask you that.
Yes, this is my first time back since graduating.
So first off, asking before you get into everything, what did you miss? What is the biggest thing that you missed about the university?
So I haven't had the opportunity to do too much yet. I really wanted to go to the dairy store. I love the ice cream. So that was one piece. The second piece is the architecture of MSU is actually really pleasant. And when you leave it and you're in a city full of uglier buildings, you appreciate it more. So I think the architecture is really nice. I'm not gonna lie, I did not miss the weather. Southern California is beautiful, but also the people. I've got to see some of my mentors and people I've worked with, and it warms my heart.
That's cool. So let's talk about you from the beginning. So where are you from, and then how did you end up at Michigan State?
Yeah, I'm originally from South Florida, Boca Raton, Florida. I ended up at MSU because of a family connection. So my dad's family is from the Sterling Heights area. I had come visit here when I was a child, and my dad is a Spartan, so he advocated that I visited. And when I did, I fell in love, I applied, and I just thought it was the right place for me.
So when you got here and you started, you picked a major?
Yes.
Talk about how you picked that and why.
Okay, so when I first arrived, I was a finance major, and that lasted less than 6 months.
I don't think I actually knew that.
Yeah, because I don't come off as someone who's a finance major.
Okay.
So I realized that economics was not my thing. I struggled in math a little bit. Calculus wasn't my jam. So I browsed through the majors, and I had always liked writing. I just used it as an outlet growing up. And I saw this major that said professional writing, and I was like, oh, I'm going to write in Cosmo one day. Didn't end up doing that, obviously, but chose the major and learned more about it. And there's three tracks. So you can be an editing and publishing person, you can focus on communities and cultures, or you can focus on digital and technical writing. And I ended up going down the digital and technical writing path because it blended art and technology and creativity, and it was this beautiful harmony of things that I was interested in.
So at that time when you got into that major, what are your... Maybe you can think about that, maybe you can't. What were your thoughts of, what were you going to do? I mean, what was your job or what was your path before any?
Yeah, I really wanted to write for Cosmopolitan magazine. I thought it would be really fun to write about fashion and relationships and anything under the sun that's considered lifestyle. I thought that would be engaging. Soon realized that that wasn't for me, but that is what I had in my head when I joined the major.
Okay, so you got into the major. Talk about those next steps. How did you get into really getting into Connector, into entrepreneurship,
sure.
All that fun stuff?
Yeah, so it started off with studying abroad. You know, that's how I met my co-founder. So basically, I had just joined the major, didn't really know anyone. I was just getting into some of the classes, and they had this really amazing opportunity to study abroad in London. And it was a summer study abroad experience. I decided to go for it. And when I was in London, I was assigned to do a research report on why people go to museums. It was this elusive, big question. And I had the opportunity to talk to dozens of people at museums about why they were there. And we took a picture of them. It was kind of creative. I wrote about what they said. And I did this with this woman named Brittany Urick. And she ended up being the co-founder of my company. And the person who ran the study abroad, Jeff Grable, ended up being my mentor during that process. So I come back to Michigan State, and I'd worked with Jeff some more. He had talked about me being a leader and doing big things, started thinking of ideas. How can I be creative in the community? What does the community need? And being an out-of-state student, it was really hard to connect, and that was the first thing that came to my mind. So I started dwelling on this idea, how do people connect? What is the root of connection? Do they need to have shared interests? What's going on? How do I meet friends? How do I meet friends like me, not just friends who I meet in class? And I had started talking to Brittany about it, and at that time, Katie, someone else who we studied abroad with, and we started taking this idea from an idea to how can we make something that students use? And we worked with Jeff, and Jeff ended up leading us to you, and you led us to a bunch of other opportunities.
So just remembering those days, just talking about that, seeing you from the very beginning, I remember saying this totally to you. You come in, and I don't know what year you were.
I was freshman, sophomore. Sophomore, yeah.
Okay. Sophomore, you're coming in not knowing anything about business, coming in or starting a business. And I remember saying, I don't know if you remember me saying this, but I said, once you get bit by the entrepreneurship bug, you're going to go off on it. And you looked at me like, whatever.
Yeah.
And
I was also nervous. I thought you were a really big hotshot, so I was super nervous.
I am a really big hotshot. No. Yeah, right. No, but it was great because I still remember that moment when I first met, because you had an idea, and I talked to Jeff about it, and I said that to you, and it was just great to see the skyrocket from there. So Connector, does anybody remember or know Connector? Is there any seniors here that know that? Chris, you know. Thank you.
You know, wow.
No?
My
Good.
Legacy
Good.
Lives on. This
Good.
Is fantastic.
So talk about that, because some people don't know that, and I know there's a couple of you in here that I see that have talked to me about similar ideas too. So talk about how that came about and what it was.
Yeah, so again, it was rooted in this idea of connection. How do humans connect? How do humans connect in communities? So that's kind of where we started. We grouped it in communities, and MSU is a community. It's a very big community. So we thought about interests. Everyone has different interests, whether it's your clubs, whether it's where you like to tailgate, sports, everything under the sun. So we created a mobile and web platform that allowed for that to happen. So in a nutshell, you went onto this platform and you saw events happening near you that were rooted in an interest, and they were rather spontaneous. So whereas Facebook, you saw a party in 3 weeks from now, where do you go to see the next pickup basketball game? Where do you go to see five tailgates that have to do with science? Or where do you go to make Friends for Study Groups. Those were all the questions we were trying to answer, and we created a platform to allow people to engage in that sort of manner. We also allowed the ability for clubs to hop in, so clubs could create a page, they could post their events, people could follow them, and then all of their meetups, big or small, they could get together. So that was Connector. We had thousands of students using it. We threw some pretty great parties. We used the startup bus to take people to the riverboat party all the time. And we also...
I think there were... How many people were on that?
Oh, gosh.
I remember the picture of the startup bus.
It was...
More than there was supposed to be.
Sure. Anyway, there were a lot of people in the bus. It was... too much, but that was one of our ways of growth hacking, is if we drive people from point A to point B, will people download our app and go to it to find more cool parties? So that was just one of the ways in which we grew effectively. So we had that. We also had study groups, so it balanced out a little bit, but that was the spot for what's happening at MSU.
So everything was perfect. You went through the whole development stage of it.
Yeah.
And you exited for multi-millions of dollars.
Not quite. So we reached a point where I had flown back up to MSU. I had just graduated. And I was looking across the table, and MSU was presenting me a license agreement for Connector. And it was my dream. It was... The university buying into my idea that I had as a sophomore and spending big bucks on it. And I decided to go the other way. So I decided not to take it. It was a pivot. And you may say, why, Zoe? That's what you always wanted. You wanted to get to that point. And it was because I realized in that moment that as much as I had built something and taken it from zero to one, I wasn't quite ready to take it from 1 to 100, and that is a really big stepping stone, and I decided I wanted to pivot and go somewhere that could teach me what does it look like to take a product or an idea from 1 to 100. So I ended up going to San Francisco and going to Zynga and working on Words with Friends.
Okay, before we get into that, I know we need to talk about We.
We, yes.
Yep, so let's talk about, I can't even remember what year it started.
It was sophomore, junior year.
Yep.
Yeah.
So talk about how the Women in Entrepreneurship group came about.
Yeah, so there was this wonderful woman who lives in Detroit. Her name's Carrie Ann Rockamore. She had visited the university, and Paul had introduced me to her. And Carrie Ann and I sat down, and we were talking about women in the entrepreneurial space and how you see less women, how it's dominated by males, and this overarching idea that women seem to be a little less confident about putting themselves out there, especially in business. So we were brainstorming ways in which we could impact the community here at MSU and bring more women into this environment, give them the resources they need and the frameworks they need to build something and try something, not to be successful, but just to learn. And if they are successful, that's wonderful. So she ended up giving a donation to the university, and I ended up with my end of the deal, which was building an organization that supported and catalyzed growth for women at Michigan State University. So that is Women in Entrepreneurship.
Yep, and still going strong today. So it was a great program that started, and appreciate you taking that on, because it was all new.
It was
like, here you go, just run it.
It was fun. It was coming up with a name, a logo, what swag items should we have, what people do we want to find, what does our e-board look like. It was building something again, and that was really exciting, but it was building something for individual people, and it would impact them greatly, and it still does. I had lunch today with some ladies from Women in Entrepreneurship, and one woman said she stayed at MSU for the organization and the opportunities in entrepreneurship, and having that lasting impact and training people to do the same for other people is the best way to give back.
Wow, that's cool. I wanted to go back just as I thought about this, and there is a picture up there somewhere of you at an event. And I know a lot of students are getting in, starting their ideas, and going to pitch competitions.
Yes.
And talking about that, everything working out perfect and going great, I think it was the first one maybe that you went to at Accelerate Michigan. And there's a picture of us up there.
Smiling.
Well, talk about that. Talk about what happened. Was it the first event that you got into to pitch?
So we did another one here in town, and then we did
the hatching.
Yes.
Maybe?
Okay. Yes. So Accelerate Michigan pulled at my heartstrings a little. So Britt and I participated in the first round, and we had moved on. And then we pitched Connector in front of a larger group of people. This was really the first time I was standing on a stage in front of, what, over 100 people. So I was nervous, and, you know, this was my idea. This was my heart on the line. And we step off the stage. Everyone's like, you did fantastic. You're going to win. Well, we did.
Someone asked to, I think, invest there, too.
Yeah. People asked to invest.
Perfect.
They do that all the time. It's not always truthful. But, yeah, so everyone's building us up. We're feeling so empowered. We're like, holy cow, we did it. We're going to win all that money. And we didn't. And it was soul-crushing in the moment. It really was. Looking back, it was a great learning opportunity, but we walked away and we're like, oh my gosh, how do we keep a smile on our face? We feel crushed. We worked so long to do the application, to get to Detroit, to go through the pitch competitions, all the classes and homework we put off to do this, and we lost. And that was a cycle we got into. We would go, we would lose, and then occasionally we would win.
And I see that all the time. And that's why I wanted you to say that, because, and there was actually a blog that I wrote out there about, you know, it's not always about winning those competitions. It's what you learn from that.
Yeah.
At that time, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's real tough, but you learned a ton from that.
Yeah. I remember the car ride home. Brittany and I were just sitting in the car silent, just like looking out the window. And it was a real grueling hour and a half on a winter day.
So think about that now. And then think about before you get to Zynga. You did this company.
Yep.
And it was time to graduate. And you were thinking about that. You were thinking about, do I run with this company? Do I sell to the university? What do I do? And I think I need to get a job. So you applied to places and talked to places. Talk about how that worked.
Yeah, I was way later in this than most people. So when I looked at the applications, we're talking March before I graduated, because I had been so gung-ho about continuing with Connector before I had this realization that I wanted to learn from somewhere else. So I didn't know what job title fit me. I mean,
it didn't really intern anywhere, or just...
I interned for you.
You interned for me, but didn't intern anywhere to anybody. What was your wording? Big time, or
no one that is considered sexy in Silicon Valley.
Gotcha.
I was never a Google or Facebook or anywhere like that. So I'm this, you know, 21 at the time. I'm this 21-year-old student who waited far too long, had a startup that she wanted to leave and go somewhere without the proper internships. And I had no idea what my title would be. I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I started looking online, and I was just Googling. I was like, okay, I like to be creative. I like to look at data, just keywords in LinkedIn. And there popped up product management. I was like, oh, this is a cool word. I like product. I build products. And in the description, it said you should be entrepreneurial. And I was like, well, that's me. I'm entrepreneurial. And then obviously I knew Zynga. I had played Words with Friends. I had played Farmville. It was very familiar to me.
Are you all familiar? Is people familiar with Zynga? You guys know that?
Yeah.
By name? More Words with Friends. You guys probably know that.
Poker, Farmville, Hit It Rich, CSR, bunch of games. Awesome. So I had applied. That was really the only place I actually applied to. I had been networking with places, but I never found a role that fit me, so I applied, but I was pretty aggressive about it. I went and messaged the recruiter on LinkedIn. I was like, hey, I'm entrepreneurial. Can we talk? And I got to the next level, and we're talking. Zynga gets thousands of applicants, so I was like, whoa. I'm the student at MSU who didn't want to continue her startup, and now Zynga's looking at me. So next step is I talked to someone on the phone, and we chatted about, you know, Uber, and what does Uber do to grow, and how do you think about growth and products and building things. Talk about your background in user experience, all of this kind of stuff. And then the next step was a case study. And again, something I had never done. I had known people who read books on how to go to BCG and think about case studies and go through that process in consulting, and that had never been shown to me. I'd never thought about that. So I did a case study. I did a case study on if a game was declining and burning, what would I do? How would I make money off of it? So I did that, and I did it my own way. I didn't do it in a traditional way. I thought about, okay, what features would I design? Oh, I want to make these slides look pretty, so let me redesign all of these slides. I did it in a very unordinary way. And then the final step was going to San Francisco, which happened to coincide with a women entrepreneurship trip, and spending a day interviewing with a bunch of folks. Every 30 minutes, a new person would come in, ask me a bunch of questions I had no idea about and had no education on, and I would make my way and problem solve, and I ended up with the job.
That's awesome. So just some of you, if you're used to that traditional send my resume in, get an interview, that doesn't happen much anymore. It's more project-based, especially on the development side, project-based. And sometimes the projects have nothing to do with what they're actually, the company's actually doing. So it's pretty interesting. And I love the process that you went through on that.
Yeah, the reason in which they do that is not because they don't think you can do something. It's really to see how you think. And especially in technology, you can think more traditionally in like certain frameworks, or you can think in a more out-of-the-box way. So it's just stepping back and being authentic to your capabilities and how you would go through a process. And if it matches with that company, fantastic. If it doesn't, you probably weren't meant for them anyway.
So big jump. You go to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
You get the job at Zynga.
Yep.
How does it go?
Amazing. It was really hard. So there were different phases, as you can imagine. So overall, it was amazing. But my first 3 weeks, I felt like I was drowning. So I came in, everyone around me went to an Ivy League school and were computer science majors. I had never coded anything in my life. I had hired a development team to make Connector, and we were asked to do data pulls in SQL, and I had only used SQL for my startup to sell data. And now I was required to do it for my job and do all of these investigations on behavior and build features, and I felt like I was drowning. And when I had come into Words with Friends, I'd come in with my counterpart, another new grad product manager. His name is Kashish, and he had come from Penn, and he had been a computer science major, and he is a fantastic product manager. So I'd been so incredibly intimidated, but the long haul was good. I had learned those tactical skills pretty quickly, and then I was able to flex my creative muscles and my UX muscles to really shine and think out of the box, which led me to bigger features down the line, such as Words with Friends Live, which is the live game show I created on Words with Friends, which was probably my largest footprint there.
And you got a promotion while you're in there, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I came in as what they call a rotational product manager. I did not rotate to another part of Zynga, which is kind of what's in the name. I wanted to stay on Words with Friends. Technically, I'd rotated pods within Words with Friends, but I'd been promoted from that to a product manager.
So for those of you who haven't been to California or don't know much about working there, talk about that. I mean, how was it so, I mean, talk about the goods and bads. I mean, you and I have talked about that before. And the job, I mean, the flexibility, as I always say, I visited there a couple of times, and I feel like you get whatever you want, like from food to drinks and all that fun
stuff.
We'll
start with pros.
Yes.
Pros are easy. The food is fantastic. We had a wonderful kitchen at Zynga. It was organic. It was delicious. Any dietary restriction in the world, and there was a menu for you. We had a coffee bar that we could use whenever we wanted. We had game rooms, obviously. It is Zynga. I had a ping pong club, and we'd go play ping pong every day. It was great. So those are the pros. The cons are more so around everyone is incredibly competitive in that space, and it is pretty cutthroat. So you are doing things for a 0.1% lift in, say, engagement. You want people to play one more move of Words with Friends per day, or on average 0.25% more. So it's just really crazy the way in which you have to think about things. It is really small lifts when you're working at a company that's been around and situated for so long, and you're looking at any lever or any part of the funnel that you can optimize for any sort of growth. So when you're stuck in that mentality, it's hard to be incredibly creative when you're in that rut. Now, there is opportunity to get outside of that rut, but I see a lot of people who are stuck doing the little motions in tech companies like that.
And how long were you at Zynga?
About a year and a half.
Year and a half. During that year and a half, so being out west, being at San Francisco, others were trying to recruit you at the time?
Sure.
Happened quite a bit?
Yeah.
So just thinking about that, getting into something like that, larger companies coming at you.
Yep.
Tempted to go to other places?
Yes and no. I think you should always keep your eyes open for new opportunities, more so to practice your narrative about yourself, as well as interview questions, and truly to understand, for me, how other product cultures worked. So how does Uber work? How does Facebook work? How do they think about product? How do they think about their development cycles? What are the features they're going to be launching? How do they talk about it? So all of these things is really interesting to learn. Now, I didn't feel like I was ready to leave Zynga because there were so many opportunities. And I knew that I was in a place where I had built enough trust to have the autonomy to go after what I wanted.
So you move an hour south. Well, we didn't even talk about how,
sure.
How do you land the position at their new position at Weedmaps?
Sure. So I decided that I was going to go to Southern California. I had applied to a handful of places. I had a few offers, and there were a few considerations. One was I wanted a little better work-life balance, which is kind of funny. In Silicon Valley, you grind it out. That's a common practice. I wanted to be able to make it more flexible so I could take the time to have personal time, but I also thought that was a great way for me to get back to home base and become more creative. When you're so deep in the company from 8 in the morning to 9 p.m. at night, you lose some of that creative juice. You lose some of that energy. So I wanted to regain that a little bit. So there was that piece. Another piece was I wanted to go somewhere smaller. Zynga was not huge, but anything bigger was way too big. I wanted to have a really large impact. Super important to me.
How many employees is Zynga?
Zynga is around 1,200. Yeah. So I wanted to go somewhere smaller, and I wanted to go somewhere rapidly growing. That was really important. So I looked at some places that were super small, around 50 people, 100 people, and Weedmaps is 400 people. So I looked all around.
Did you know much about Weedmaps or about the company at all, or how did you?
Sure. I had actually seen their billboard in Lansing. Way back when. I knew who they were. I obviously follow the tech industry, so I knew how they were disrupting the cannabis space. So I did know about them. I am not a regular cannabis user, so that is not why I was drawn there. I was drawn there for the reason that they were in a growing industry, that I truly believe that weed should be legal for everyone and everyone should have access to that substance, and it can be used for good medically and for athletes and for all a handful of other reasons. So for all of those reasons, I thought it was a cool company, but yeah, I had chosen it because of how it was mission-driven. So they thought about things from a macro perspective of how is cannabis going to positively affect people in the world. Also, it facilitated interesting behavior. So they had a community where people talk about it. They have a platform where you can connect with different dispensaries. They have their whole medical section. It was about education as well. So for all of those reasons, I thought it would also be a good space to learn. And it was a really grounded company and a really solid mission.
So you meet with them. How was their interview process?
Their interview process wasn't really an interview process. So it was and it wasn't. The way I got in contact with them was through messaging the chief product officer, Hans, through LinkedIn. And Hans had messaged me back and said, yeah, I'd love to chat. I was at Zynga at the time. I was able to be remote from Southern California at Zynga, but I decided that I wanted to check out other opportunities in the area. So Hans and I hopped on the phone and chatted. We talked about what he was doing, what he needed. I talked about what I do, what I need, and it was kind of this perfect marriage. So he wanted to bring more product discipline and product understanding, and he wanted to bring someone who was incredibly creative and can disrupt the industry so we could hold our market dominance, and I wanted to do all of that, and I had that background, so it was a great marriage there. The next piece was another case study, actually. So I put together a deck, and this was during Thanksgiving. I'd spent basically a day of my Thanksgiving break putting together a deck of everything I would do if I worked there. And I thought about it from a really macro perspective. I had different phases, different roadmaps. And then finally, I went to the office and I chatted with the product managers there, the leadership there, and toured the office and got the offer.
Quite a bit different. So you had more clout coming from Zynga.
Absolutely.
Coming in and reaching out. So
absolutely.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And it was also that my CPO and I really understood each other, and I respected his vision, and I wanted to drive towards his vision for the company and how he saw products. So I wanted to advocate on his behalf. So it felt really right.
That's great. That's great. Just briefly, can you talk about really, you know, you've done this whole trajectory of starting as a student, learning the process, learning about innovation, starting a company. How do you really think that helped you? I mean,
sure.
Talk about that.
Sure. So going back to this whole idea of internships, that was always a scary thing to me. I chose entrepreneurship over the standard steps someone should take. And I've had some conversations about this today with some folks here, but what it taught me was how to be, how to have a wide breadth of skills. So when you do internships, you may have a computer science internship or an analyst internship or even a product management internship, and you learn in that silo, which is great. I think you really should have a deep knowledge of some area. I don't discredit that. But I think what entrepreneurship lent me was this breadth of understanding. So again, I learned SQL through being an entrepreneur. I learned how to be creative. I learned how to build something. I learned business. Everything I needed to know was all within this, this long-term, you know, trajectory of building my company. And that narrative, those experiences were more than anyone else had coming in. That flexibility, I had muscles I could flex that other people didn't. That afforded me a lot of opportunities moving forward because I could say, hey, I can do that too. I can help with your email marketing campaigns. I can help with your UX and the wireframing. There were a lot of things that I could be hands-on with because I was used to wearing so many different hats. And I think that all of Silicon Valley and beyond Silicon Valley, they're thinking towards that now. They're thinking, we want people who are diverse. We want people with skill sets that touch many different things because they're going to grow our products. They are going to be the next generation of hardworking individuals that spark innovation.
Well, I love lots of part of my job, but one of the great things is to see that, is to see you from little Zoe to growing up to this. So
yeah.
I appreciate it. I love what you're doing. So
yeah.
Next time I see you, you'll be the owner and president of something. So
we'll
it'll be
see.
Exciting. Well, a couple of things. We'll get to some questions, and then maybe I know you have some questions too for some swag.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll throw them in between, or where do you want to start?
Sure. Here. So I have some questions. I'm going to pull them out. We're going to see which ones people can answer. And if you guys don't know them, we'll give out swag for people who ask good questions. Okay. So my first question, I'm going to make it kind of vague. So who can name at least 5 states who have recreational marijuana?
Washington, Oregon, Maine, Michigan, and Colorado.
You got it. So you'll be able to pick out one of these swag items. I do want to preface that Weed Maps has an amazing store. We have a whole brand, so we have hats and socks and jackets. You can actually buy all this stuff online, but I brought some as well.
So one for you.
Yeah.
Yep. Choose whatever you want. You have first dibs.
Mike, if you're gonna answer a question, thank you.
Yeah, use the mic. Okay, I'm gonna make it a little harder. Who knows what state was the first recreational cannabis transaction? Which state housed the first recreational cannabis transaction? No one? Yeah. Wait, you're supposed to come down here. I know it's a long walk to maybe know an answer.
It's a guess, though. Like, it's really a guess. I don't really know that. Is it Colorado?
It is Colorado.
For sure.
Okay. So one really interesting fact I learned when I had just started at Weed Maps was around our brand and how we think about it. So the first e-commerce transaction ever that happened was actually related to cannabis, and it happened between two different universities. And I don't know if you guys would ever know these universities. It's actually a pretty big story when it let loose. Does anyone know the two universities that exchanged cannabis for the first time on e-commerce? No? Okay, it was a tricky one, but it's Stanford and MIT. So that was actually the first e-commerce transaction ever. It was cannabis.
I didn't know that at all.
It's rooted in our brand. We're high tech.
Funny, high tech.
Yeah. Okay, what was the first state that started a medical marijuana program? And it's not Colorado. Okay. He's got it. He's determined.
California?
Yep. Okay. Now the next one, everyone don't jump out of your seats for this one, but let's see who gets to the mic first. What was the most recent state to pass recreational marijuana use?
Go to the mic.
Whoever gets to the mic first.
Is it Michigan?
It is Michigan. What do we have left?
We got two items left.
You want to save the two for
some
good questions?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's save the next two for questions.
Yeah. Let's start with some questions, everybody. Anybody raise their hand or come up to the mic if you have questions for Zoe? Yeah. Come on up. Make sure you come up to the mic.
I'm sorry. It's such a long walk.
Did you find that, like, being straightforward with your, with the people you were applying for helped a lot? Like, you know, how you said you made those presentations and stuff to, like, kind of go with them. Did you find that that helped?
Yeah, so I think authenticity is key. And again, if a company didn't like how I thought through something, I wouldn't want to work there anyway because I wouldn't be able to be successful. So I put a lot into my case studies and any documentation I provide to a company I'm interested in, merely for the fact that, one, I want to get excited about their product when I'm working on this case study, and two, I want to show them how I think, and I want them to help leverage my my creative process. And you can get an item, too.
More questions? Yeah, come on up.
What were your biggest challenges and lessons learned in your connector endeavor?
Sure. I think the biggest challenges were really, they went hand in hand. So growth was one half of it, and then the other half was funding. But without growth, you can't get funding.
I'll add to that because I was there during the process.
Yeah.
How about development? Without getting too much into the weeds.
Yeah, I don't want to dive too deep into that, but we also struggled from a technology perspective. We had built a product and we didn't have an in-house development team, so it was really hard to continually add to it and optimize. We were outsourcing it, so every time we were like, we got this customer feedback, can you change this? It would take a very long time and a lot of money. So that's another good piece that also helped slow our growth, because when we wanted to grow and we got feedback, we couldn't make the changes to catalyze growth, and in turn it was harder to get funding. So all of those pieces came together.
Yeah, no, development is always a big struggle with many of you. So
yeah.
Any other questions? I got a question for all of you. Did everybody know what Weed Maps is? Raise a hand. So you know what Weed Maps is? So a good amount
awesome.
Of you. That's good.
Super cool. Who's actually used Weed Maps? Less hands, but still a fair amount of hands. I'm sorry, I'm not outing you guys. It's legal now, it's fine.
Cameras. Well, good. We'll have a couple minutes after, too, if Zoe will stick around.
Sure.
But if you guys do have some questions you don't want to ask on the microphone, come on up and say hi. But Zoe, good to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you.
Thank you so much. Let's give her a huge round of applause.
This episode of the Hatchcast is brought to you by Spartan Innovations. Spartan Innovations provides the educational and financial support necessary to turn MSU Research Technologies into successful Michigan businesses and spur entrepreneurship at MSU and across Michigan.